Are dents and scratches putting a dent in your day? Introducing Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide, your trusted solution for automotive woes. With over two decades of expertise, Roger Steen Crash Repairs guarantees top-notch service, restoring your vehicle to its former glory in no time. From minor dings to major collisions, our skilled technicians handle it all with precision and care, using state-of-the-art equipment and techniques.
Roger Steen Crash Repairs saved my car. It looks brand new.
Fast, friendly and reliable. I wouldn't trust anyone else with my vehicle. Don't let accidents slow you down. Visit Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide at 14 Penner Avenue, Glynde, for quality service you can count on. And here's a special offer just for our listeners. Mention this podcast and receive a $100 discount on your repair. Roger Steen Crash Repairs Adelaide. Excellence in every repair.
Past players. Past legends. Past legends.
Tonight, we are pleased to welcome Jimmy McGarry Allen to the show. Casual 117 games for North, more importantly, 27 for Nord. 70 old, but a ridiculous record. McGarry medalists 07, 10 and 11. North's best and fairest 5 years in a row. The Advertiser Player of the Year 7 and 10. Team of the Year 7 and 11. Basically, the second most decorated player at the North Adelaide Club. Well, second or third behind Robren and Farmer. So you, I reckon you could just take that, Jimmy, and give life away after that personally. So, welcome aboard, mate.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the kind words. Yeah, I'll definitely take that. I'm not sure it's true, but I'll take it, that's for sure.
Don't worry about that, Jimmy. Always go with that. It says it there. So, yeah.
Jimmy, we'd like to start, like we do with most of our guests, where you started your junior career. We do a little bit of research on our guests, and Obviously you started out in Victoria.
I did, yeah. I'm a Lara boy, just out of my suburb of Geelong, so I played my junior footy at Lara, sort of went through the Falcons underage programs all the way from under 15s, and then when I was 16, I played a couple of senior games at Lara before going to the Falcons full-time. Played there as a 17-year-old, as a bottom-age player, then was going back the next year, did my knee, had knee reconstruction and missed the whole under 18 year. Was lucky enough to still get rookie to Geelong. Didn't have a great season at all. It was probably the easiest delisting the club's ever had, I would have thought, at the end of 2004. Made my way to Werribee for 2 years in the VFL and played the losing grand final there. Second year, I got injured again, so I only played 12 games in my second year and then had a bit of time to think. And at the time, Werribee was aligned with the Western Bulldogs, and I struggled with that a little bit as a young player who had a reasonably healthy opinion of his own ability and like just the way that it worked there, and a competitive, sort of player as well, competitive person. I found it hard to understand that not everyone in the team or at the club was trying to win every week. There was a lot about development. So started looking elsewhere and made my way to North Adelaide, which was the best move of my life, really. Had 6 years there, came back to Lara for a year and ended up at Norwood for a couple of years. So been a bit of everywhere and enjoyed every minute of it.
So we'll just go back a little bit. Your time in Lara, obviously part of your development process. Any good players come out of Lara apart from yourself?
There's been a few, sort of more so recently. Alan Christensen, the Lara boy, Devin Smith, Josh Walker. To be honest, there's not much else to do apart from play footy and cricket in Lara. So, have produced some, but before that, look, there were some other pretty handy players. The Christensen brothers all came from there. That's Bundy's dad and his uncles and those guys. So, there's been some big names come through at Lara. Junior footy's probably not thriving like it was a while ago, and that's not just in Lara, it's a bit everywhere.
Mate.
But, we've had, it's a strong club, strong community club. Results haven't been great in recent times, but Devin's back involved now. Hopefully they get things back on track. They're in a really strong league in the Geelong Footy League. That was a great grounding for me.
And when you arrived at North Adelaide, you certainly arrived with a bang in 07, Jimmy. You virtually did everything that year. You debuted against Central in round one.
And yep.
You won the McGarry, Advertiser and Football Budget Player of the Year, Selection Advertiser Team of the Year, and your first of your North's five BNFs in a row. So, yeah, what a bad year, mate.
It was a good year. The best part about it, we played in the grand final.
Yes.
Even though we lost that grand final, I say this all the time, I played in the losing one at Werribee. I'd much rather the experience of losing a grand final than not having tasted it at all. It was an unbelievable build-up. You know, people coming to training, which never happened. It's the exciting time. I still think about the losses a bit. Probably the one at Werribee, we were the best team all year and lost. But I was 20. Thought that was going to happen every year. I don't think we're ever going to beat Centrals in 07. So, it's a bit different when you have high expectations. But they're the best team, probably the best team in the sample in my time over there, I reckon.
Yeah, that's fair. Yep.
Yeah, so, you just mentioned all that other stuff. But I reckon, being a first-year player, I slipped under the radar a little bit. And I played with some unbelievably good and experienced players. Like, we had Laddams, Uni, Alloway, Motlop, Howard, Spawn, all these guys were genuine guns of the SA NFL, and I was just a young kid who sort of rode on their coattails a little bit and cashed in with all the attention they got. So it was an unbelievable year. It was a great move. The best part about it was going to a footy club that was a great footy club and embraced me, and it was like a second family for me.
So we'll take just a small step backwards there. Who was instrumental in getting you to North Adelaide?
Oh, Jars. Was massive. I remember him calling me up, and probably at the time I was looking for a move, and probably at that age was looking for a bit of love as well. And I remember him calling me up, and he introduced himself as Papa Bear and told me that I needed to get over to Adelaide, and Papa Bear was going to look after him. And for me, that was sort of that got me done. I was probably already going to go there. They spoke to me the year before, but I wasn't ready to leave Werribee or leave home, but the next year, it was probably always going to be North Adelaide. And when Jazz, gave me the call, I was pretty much sold. Even though I've had meetings with other clubs, I was sort of pushing shit uphill a little bit, I think, because I was done and dusted.
And so your career at North, you did take the competition by storm and that, but do you think back of anything you would have done differently at North in terms of, it's a bit of a mixed, not a huge amount of success. Certainly your most amount of success was in your first year, but just your overall time at North Adelaide. Just reflections there. Look, Jimmy, I reckon at times your hunt of the ball was fantastic, but I reckon there was times you got a bit too much of the ball in the back half and could have hurt sides a little bit more going forward. That was the general line of thought that, geez, he's a bloody gun, but I reckon, along those lines of things.
Yeah, well, it's an interesting one. I've heard it all before. I guess from my point of view, I was never given feedback from coaches about not doing that. In fact, a lot of the coaches, like Roger James and our assistants there, encouraged me to work back, and I think the defenders appreciated that as well. So,
yeah, that's fair.
Like I would have loved to have picked more goals, no worries. We had plenty of guys doing that early days, but one thing I always say, Malcolm, is I was still getting tagged most weeks. I was obviously doing something that was hurting the opposition. That would be my argument. But, as you get older, you probably look at doing things differently. I know I'm probably a better player by the end of my career when I focused more on what I could do to help the team. And I think that's just a maturity thing. I never thought I was selfish, to be honest, but I guess you go through that stage where, and I spoke about it my first night at Werribee last night, the different stages you have in your career, and you start off and you're just happy to be there, and then you want to play a game, and then you want to be established, and then you want some recognition, and then by the end you're just looking for team success. So I think my evolution was probably no different to most guys, and by the end I was a bit more of a rounded player.
Yeah, it's fair. Yep. Of course, then it was, you went home for a year, didn't you? And looked like you were going to come back to North, and then a couple of things fell away, and you ended up at the parade, mate.
I did, yeah. So I came back to Lara probably with the intention of staying for good. It's funny how things work. I was single the whole time. I was in Adelaide, and then just about 2 weeks before I was about to move, I met my now fiance. We've been together ever since. So I was moving back to Geelong 2 weeks later, with the assumption that we probably wouldn't see that much of each other going forward. But she moved over not long after, so I put the travel plans on hold. Played footy at Lara with my brother, which was great. We played finals that year. It was a really strong competition. I came back and played in an interleague side that featured Matt Scarlett, who else was in there? David Wojcinski, Tom Stewart before he got drafted. It was just jam-packed with gun players. But I guess the itch was still there a little bit. I felt like I still had a bit to give at state league level. And towards the back end of the year, North were flying, played in the grand final, and I didn't want to miss out. And I wanted to get back over there. And as you said, things didn't sort of pan out the way I would have liked. And ended up at Norwood at a great time where, again, I just jumped on. Timing's everything in footy, and I jumped on onto the back of some great work from people who'd been there and was lucky enough to cash in with a flag.
Because you broke your arm too towards the end of halfway through in 14 and just made it back. May have had a few of us reminding that you had to push yourself at training in that last week, and that just made it back in time, mate.
Yeah, I dislocated my wrist against North in a pretty ordinary tackle, and I guess...
Yes, that's right, yes.
That when it happened, all I could think of was that we were going to win the flag and I was going to miss out, and that was basically the advice I was given by the docs, that you're probably not going to play again. It was a pretty bad dislocation of my wrist, and told me I wasn't going to play again, and I didn't really want to borrow that, so I did what I could, and I remember just putting this brace on one night, and someone to kick a footy at me, and I marked it, and it actually felt okay, and that sort of gave me confidence that not to give up, and the boys just kept winning, and when that's happening, you're sort of thinking they're not going to change too much, and I played a couple of really ordinary reserves games, but did enough to get back in the selection frame, and I just remember the last training night, I still no guarantee to play, and my first handball, I reckon, missed the mark by about 10 metres, and that was... I've never been nervous at training. I really didn't really used to train that much, but that week I thought I better put in a pretty good effort, and I started off really ordinary. And back end of that training session, Gags took me aside for a fitness test, and I had to lay 5 tackles, which I probably didn't do in my whole career anyway. I was loaded up on painkillers, and I remembered I actually nailed 5 of the best tackles of my career on Mitch Wicks, and I reckon he went easy on me a little bit. He wasn't a chance to play, so... He had nothing to gain by making me miss. So I did that, and I remember thinking, if I have to lay one more, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do it. My wrist was hurting that much, and Gag said, that's enough, I've seen enough. And straight after training, I got a phone call from Duggar on the way to a team dinner saying you're playing. So that was unbelievable. And then going into that game, it just felt like a free hit, really. I didn't expect to play in that game, and there was no nerves at all. I just thought, how good it is to be involved in all of this and just soaked it up. And it was a pretty memorable day, not just because we won, but the whole event, 40,000 at Adelaide Oval.
I was going to say it was 41,000, yep.
Yeah, playing against Port. Got a bit of it early, which was nice, died out later on, but just the whole thing was unbelievable. My greatest highlight and memory in footy, really.
I do remember spending a bit of time with you that night. You were along those lines where you went, I knew this was going to be good if I played in one, but Jesus, this is great. And how many numbers? You were a bit overawed with how many people were back at the parade, and you just had a grin like a Cheshire cat. And I remember taking a photo of you and sending it to one of the, trying to think, I reckon, NK, I reckon, in London. And yeah, it was a great reminder seeing you there that night. That some of the players in the third, they were really pumped, but just see someone in their first, it was a good reminder, hey, premierships don't grow on trees. And we were lucky enough to win 3 in a row, but yeah, don't ever take anything for granted.
No, that's it. Having played in 2 losing ones, and then the next year I was still a North man, and North lost that premiership, and there's part of you, I wanted North to win, but there was a little part of me thinking, if I miss this, I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to deal with it. And I guess there was that relief, I remember, on the final siren, just crying straight away because, one, at the start of the year, like, I was devastated not to go back to North, and that knocked me around a fair bit. And then I got the chance at Norwood and didn't look like I was going to play in the grand final, and then that just sort of swept me up. And I guess, yeah, it was just a massive relief. And then after the relief, the jubilation sets in, and, you know, guys that I got along with well, like Juice, who missed out on playing in, I think that was his first one as well.
Yeah, it was,
Yeah, so for those guys, I don't think you ever get sick of winning them. I only won one, but I always thought after one, I'd just hang them up no matter what. And I said that at North, and it was, to be honest, it's a complete opposite feeling. I just didn't want to ever miss out on that feeling again, and I was more hungry after that to go again. And I say that to guys now, like, once you get a taste of it, I find it really hard, to be honest, to see other people win flags now, because I know what they're feeling, and I'm just so envious of them. Like, I'm happy for a lot of guys to be doing it, but the feeling's unbelievable. The week after was the best week of my life, apart from having kids.
I thought you better quickly add that one, otherwise you would have been in the, been in the shit,
I'm not
mate.
Sure, yep. I'm not sure. Kelly hears me talking up. I'm not sure if you'll listen to this back, but like the week after, just the celebrations and just being around everyone that was a big part of that triumph was unbelievable.
Now, you obviously talked about your team successes with North and Nord, but let's just take a little bit of a step back to 2007. You arrive at the SANFL and you basically claim every award there is, including the McGarry Medal. I mean, that's a big achievement in itself. And just some of your reflections on the first one that you won, and we'll move on to the second and third a little bit later on.
Yeah, I guess coming over, you don't really understand the significance of the competition being from here and what the award means. And again, like, I find it a little bit uncomfortable, to be honest, that the competition's changed so much, but the award is still the same thing. Like, I've got no say in it, but like, my idea would be you change the name of the award. Like, that's because these guys who have won multiple awards before me are far greater players than I am, and I don't feel comfortable in that company at all. So, that's one part of it. But in terms of winning it, any sort of recognition is fantastic, and I just found that was great reward for not only my effort but the whole group. And we didn't win the flag, but we had a really successful year, and that was something I could share with teammates, and if they could take any, I guess, satisfaction out of that, I hope they did. But the night itself was very different to the other two because we were playing in the grand final, and back then they had the McGarry on
the Monday or the Tuesday.
Sober as the judge, which was very different to the next two. and sitting around and trying to concentrate on a grand final, having a late night then and getting bombarded with messages, which was unreal as well. Like, I wouldn't change any of it, but it was a very different feeling, and it didn't really sink in until later on because we had the grand final to concentrate on.
So, Jimmy, when you moved on, so the second, and you win second and then a third, and, you know, you're from Lara, you haven't heard, you would have, while you were at North, I'm sure you heard about Robren, how good Robren was, but just, you know, just to be mentioned, hey, you won that award the same many times as him. Now, look, Robren's the best player I've seen. So, you know, I'm in awe and always will be. And that's from a Nord supporter too as well.
Yeah, I think any SANFL.
You are. I think anyone who really followed the SANFL, Robren's number one. And just, he was a freak. He did things which I've still never, ever seen any other player do. And so you just, but that still would have, I'm sure Nick Haynes and the North faithful and Jamie Wolford and that side of things would have, hey, you won this thing the same number of times as Robren. How did that sort of, I know you're uncomfortable about it, Jimmy, but it still has to be deep down a massive satisfaction that you've won it the same number of times as the greatest.
Yeah, well,
you know where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from, yeah, but I don't I don't think of it like that. Like, I sort of, I think...
And I respect that as well, yeah. And I agree with you. It's not the same. It's and the competition's not the same. It's sad that it's not the same.
No, exactly. And what I'm probably most proud of is, I think winning an award like that, even once, is a good effort at any level. One thing I prided myself on a bit was just my consistency. And you see a lot of guys have a good year, and it's not having a crack at them, but you have a really good year, and then they find it hard to reach those heights again. And one thing that I was proud of, more so than winning those awards, I thought I got better most years.
Yeah, that's fair.
And the attention sort of increased, and I thought I still contributed all the time. And whether those awards were there or not, that's something that I was probably most proud of. And they, I guess, were a bit of a recognition for that as much as anything else.
Then moving on, so next, your sort of season, your career sort of ended a bit abruptly and that sort of, anything to say in that regard, Jimmy? And then after SANFL was?
No, it ended abruptly, all right. I thought I was going right. I was actually, and it's not everything, but I was coming fourth in the McGarry the week that I got dropped at Norwood with 1 week to go leading into finals. So obviously, the way I thought I was going, other people thought I was going, is different to what the coach thought, and he's obviously the most important. So that certainly didn't help me. But look, I was pretty cooked towards the end. I thought I was still playing well enough to be in the side. That was a little bit disappointing. But the fact that I'd won a premiership the year before, I'd only been there 2 years and played 25 games. It was, I don't know, it's probably different if I had got dropped at North, I reckon. In some respects. Yeah, so there was a bit of that. Like, it's always disappointing. And from a competitive bloke, again, who has confidence in his own ability, I thought I deserved to be playing. But, look, I'm not bitter about it. I probably was at the time. I'm not now. I'm well and truly past that. I guess the one thing that I would say now, it's probably helped me, and I've got to be careful what I say, it's probably helped me be a better coach.
I understand what you mean there. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's no disrespect to the coach at the time, but you learn things as you go, and I'm sure the coach learned things from that as well. But just around communication and feedback and just being really honest, I feel like if I'd have been given some, even if it was really stern feedback earlier, I could have done something about it. Instead, I got given the news that I wasn't playing and it was too late. I was never getting back in then. So that was the disappointing part, I guess. I don't necessarily disagree with the decision. I was pretty ordinary the week before I got dropped. But just some feedback earlier with an opportunity to do something about it would have been nice.
No, that's fair.
Fair call. Obviously playing 117 games with North Adelaide, is there a couple that stand out to you that you can remember back to that you know, you just had the ball on a string and couldn't do anything wrong?
Well, there's one that stands out, probably down at South. And this was more, it gives you a bit of an indication of what how footy was then, and why it was probably, to be fair, more enjoyable to play. We beat South. They kicked 20 goals and we kicked about 28 down there. It was just a shootout. And I think I had, I had 46 and kicked 3.
I was going to say, I guarantee you knew how many you had, Jimmy. You keep going.
And I reckon I played on Clay Sampson. I reckon he had about 36. So that was that was enjoyable for many reasons. I was very superstitious. I'll try and cut this story short, but very superstitious in terms of routine the night before games and stuff. And that the night before that game, I was on the way to pick up my fish and chips, which I always did, and my car caught on fire. And I didn't get to the fish and chip shop on time, so I had to grab some pasta, ate that. And I was just, that did my head in that I wasn't going to play well because my routine changed.
Then, you started burning your car each Friday night after that, Jimmy.
Yeah, I was thinking about how I was going to burn out a car every Friday night. It's going to be something a bit costly. So I went back to the fish and chips. But, yeah, it's funny how it works. Even that didn't deter me from sticking to what I'd always done. But that game stands out a bit, yeah. And there was another one at North. We didn't really play on each other, but Chad Corns played, and I kicked 4 goals in the first quarter. I thought I was going to kick 16, and I didn't get near the goals again. I had a bit of the ball, but I got stuck on 4. I thought, how good is this? I might really cash in with a big bag here, but it didn't eventuate.
And then obviously only playing the 27 with Norwood. I think I know which one you're going to pick, and Malcolm's probably shaking his head here saying the best game for Norwood that you can remember is probably the grand final.
Yeah, absolutely. To be honest, I don't really remember too many of the Norwood ones standing out as being like really big games. It was a lot different. We played roles and I was still able to find the ball and play pretty well, but it was a lot different, and my focus by that stage was a lot different as well. So the grand final, for a number of reasons, not that I had an unbelievable individual game or anything, I thought I'd contributed
early
on, but that game, for all the reasons I mentioned before, is clearly a highlight, something I still think about regularly.
Don't worry, you're not on your Pat Malone there. Jimmy, so you've been around the traps a fair bit coaching-wise, and that's also had a bit to do with whether you managed to get teaching roles and all that. So go through where you've been around. So I certainly had roles at both Norwood and North and in the college system. And don't worry, Stump said we've got to make sure that we mention that, the super coach is at Ross Trevor now. So, yes.
Yeah, he's running the Stump Academy, that's right.
Yes, you would have been worried. We would have been worried if Stump didn't get a mention. So go on, mate.
To be honest, having a look at being around a little bit coaching-wise was a little bit by design. I started off as a playing assistant at Pembroke, and we're in Div 3, and that was the main reason there was that all my best mates were playing there that weren't playing in the sample. So that was an easy decision to go there. We went up to Div 2 and I took over the coaching role there. And look, the promotion relegation system in the SAFL or the Adelaide Footy League now works for some clubs, and I don't think it worked for others. And for a club like Pembroke, we lost five or six of our best players who didn't get paid because they achieved what they wanted to do with their mates and took off, and we weren't able to recruit. We had no money. So Div 2 was probably, it was probably a challenge too far, and we struggled. So I took the opportunity then to go back to Norwood and coach the under-18s, which I think was still probably the best move I made, given the fact that as an under-18 coach, you really do get to run your own program, and it gives you experiences that the head coach at senior level get that you probably don't get elsewhere in terms of managing staff and, liaising with junior clubs and schools. So I'll be forever grateful for the opportunity to do that. From there, once my son came along, Teddy, I wanted to, as much as I could, combine work with footy and tie them both in. So the director of footy role became available. Well, I guess we created it. It wasn't really something that was in place at Ross Trevor. So I was able to coach, run the footy program and teach all as part of one role, which was great. And I lived just up the road, which was even better.
Yep.
So I did that for 3 years. One of those years, the COVID year, I got back involved at Norwood. And that was something I wanted to get back involved at senior level, given that, that's where I wanted to go at some point. I had no real idea of when that was, but it was very hard juggling the two. So I sort of just went back to school and stuck that out. And then this year gave away the coaching role while still being the director of footy at Ross Trevor and went back to North Adelaide, which, again, not just the opportunity to coach at senior level, the opportunity to get back and connect with the footy club after 10 years away was something that I thought was really important, not just for my footy stuff, but personally, it was something I really thought I needed to do, and so glad that I did it, because I mended, not that they were completely fractured, but I strengthened some relationships that probably were fractured a little bit because of the stuff that happened 10 years ago, and that was something that was important to me.
Yeah, no, good on you in that way, Jimmy. I totally get that. There's always a pull back to your original club. I get that. I think we all get that. And yes, things can happen and things can be done better. And probably look at it a bit. Yeah, maybe I want. Yeah, we might have done something right. So I totally get that. Well and truly. Yeah. There is always a pull of that original club.
It was a good move. And I say it all the time. I love my time at Norwood. I really did. But like you said, I played 27 games. I had 2 years there. I went back and coached. So I do love the joint. But North Adelaide was where I moved to when I was still growing up, really. So I feel like I grew up and grew a lot as a person there as well. And I played most of my footy there. And a lot of the backroom staff are still there now. Yeah. And it felt like going home.
You're a Rooster at heart. No problem at all with that, mate.
Yeah.
Did, you know, obviously heading back to Norwood and coaching the juniors and then at North Adelaide, is there a couple of players that got drafted that you keep a bit of an eye on these days from your program?
Yeah. Well, I was lucky enough, especially the first year at Norwood, we had a really good side. Unfortunately, most of them went to college, so we went from being probably the best side in the comp to being the worst side in the comp when college footy was on. But Kay Chandler is one that I still keep in contact with now. It's unreal seeing him doing what he's doing at Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Just a genuinely great person, as well as a gun footballer. So I'm really proud of what he's doing. Dylan Stevens was playing there then, now traded to North Melbourne. So I hope he finds his feet there because he's as good as I've as seen.
That's what I reckon, yeah.
To be honest, Max Michelaney, the first thing that he was the first player I noticed when I got to training at Ross Trevor. And he told me he was a forward. Everyone told me he was a forward, and there was no way he was playing forward after what I could see him doing back. And he's leading the Adelaide Crows best and fairest 5 rounds in his first years. Shows how good he is. He's unbelievable.
There's another one too, Jimmy. Speaks highly of you, and just unfortunately his groin's bloody didn't give him a crack. Kid I rate enormously as a person as well, more importantly than footy, is Luke Valenti as well, mate.
Oh, absolute cracker. I was about to get to that. You when that question gets asked, you immediately think of guys who are doing well at AFL level, but some of those guys, And Luke was unfortunate because of the injury. He was he's as good a leader as I've ever seen. We would have won the flag in the under-18s if he wasn't injured.
Yep.
I'd love to think that he'd still be playing at Fremantle and playing really good footy if he didn't. But again, like I get a lot of satisfaction, and trust me, I don't take much of the credit for it, but being able to play a role in the development of some of those guys who played in Norwood's premiership last year, like Jacob Kennelly, Ben Jarvis, Mitch Carroll, Sam Morris. I'm going to miss someone. I'm going to be really embarrassed about it. Xavier Tranford missed out. But seeing what those guys did and the contribution they made to Norwood's flag, even though they played North, and I had mixed emotions about who was going to win, I was so happy for all of those guys.
It did get a discussion. So Matty Panos, obviously Ross Trevor as well, earlier than that. But it did get a discussion on grand final night. Don't worry, Jacob was pretty keen to push the Ross Trevor barrel that night.
Yeah,
fair enough.
I didn't have them at Ross Trevor, but they were a big part of the school there. They were in my under-18 team at Norwood. So the Norwood-Ross Trevor connection's really strong. And it's one thing that drew me to the job at Ross Trevor was the dealings I had with the Ross Trevor boys in the Norwood under-18s were fantastic. I always found them to be just really genuine, humble, hard-working kids. And it was no surprise to see what they did as a big part of that Norwood flag.
Well, we've got that in common because I've always said Luke Valenti's the best leader I've been involved with coaching as well. So we've got that in common, mate. So now the current.
Yeah.
Back to Werribee, mate. Back home. Huge, mate. Congratulations and all the best. You've lost a couple of players to the draft. Bit unlucky losing a 26-year-old to the draft, mate. But,
It's really exciting. For a number of reasons. Again, you talk about what footy clubs mean to you and homes. Werribee really did kickstart my senior footy career after that 1 year that I had at Geelong. And again, this has helped my coach. Every experience I've had, I'm really grateful for. But I've got a really good understanding of what it's like to be number 40 on the list when I was at Geelong. And I went to Werribee and things were just different. It was a genuine footy club feel, and that's what I love about footy. I love going back into the rooms afterwards and having a beer, and a lot of my good mates were mates that I met at Werribee. So when that job came up, I was actually home. My home, where my parents are, is 20 minutes away. This is where I grew up in Lara, 20 minutes away from Geelong, 20 minutes away from Werribee. So it's a massive homecoming of sorts for me. lot of the same people around still, and I was just struck as soon as I went there. Facilities and everything have changed immensely for the better, but the feel of the club's still what I remember it, and I'm really excited to get stuck in. Yep, we've lost some players. We lost a couple to the draft, but that speaks to the development program that's in place at the club. We lost some champions of the footy club as well to retirement, guys that you wouldn't have heard of really over in SA, but guys that are household VFL names. But as much as I would have loved them to stick around, I understand why they're leaving, and it just gives opportunity to guys who missed out last year. And the footy club, the team won 18 on the trot, I think it was, or 16 on the trot last year. And the feedback that I've got, there was 8 or 10 blokes who were genuinely stiff to be missing out every week. And those guys now get an opportunity. And I've only been back for a couple of nights, and you can already see how hungry those guys are. And I'm excited about what can be done. Outsiders looking in probably think we're going to fall off the perch a little bit because of what we lost. I don't share that view at all. And I met with the leaders last night, and they're just as excited as I am about what lies ahead.
Ah, look, all the best there, Jimmy. Yeah. Well and truly.
How did the Werribee gig come about? Were you approached, or did you apply?
No, I applied. I was, again, I talk about timing being everything. I was actually home at the time, and I applied and went through a process for another coaching job over there, and just missed out from what I was told. And when I got the phone call to tell me that, I was actually home in Lara, and it was 2 days after Mick Barlow had announced that he was going to North Melbourne as head of development.
Yep.
The CEO at Werribee was the footy manager while I was there, so we've kept in contact over the years, and I just messaged him and said, Mark, I'm really keen to apply. What's the go? And he said, we're not taking applications. We're going to draw up a shortlist. I said, I'm here to the weekend. Can we catch up? So I went up Friday, showed me through the place, had a chat, gave me no guarantees that I'd even get an interview. I had to wait till the next week to find out I was getting an interview, and then came back a couple of times to present to the panel. Then I had to meet with the board on Zoom. So it was a thorough process. But again, I just love talking footy, so I enjoyed every minute of it. I didn't enjoy the wait. but yeah, I was really excited when I got the call that the job was mine if I wanted it. So yeah, can't wait to get stuck into it. And yeah, doing footy as a job seems pretty good thing to me.
Oh, Jimmy's a fellow cricket nut as well. Lover of Richard Cheeque. Always enjoy your following of Richard Cheeque stuff as well, mate.
Garnet, New South Wales, wasn't he?
Yes. And, it was always amusing, some of those chats between all you boys about Richard Cheeque. So
did you ever pursue cricket on a social level or semi-interest?
I played very seriously up until I was 16.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was a wicketkeeper.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought you were a keeper. Yep.
I was a reasonably good keeper. My batting left a bit to be desired. I was in the squads in the state side, but I was behind my first year, I reckon I was behind Adam Crosthwaite, so that was pretty stiff, and then I was behind Peter Neville after that. So, footy was always going to be the thing, but as I said, playing cricket and footy in Lara and Geelong was all that we did. We had a competition over here, the under-16 comp, the Dowling Shield, which is a big under-16 comp. And my first year playing in the Dowling Shield, we won it 2 years in a row. And that was against every district club in Victoria. So it was a big deal. My first year, our captain was Luke Hodge, batting at number 4 and bowling first change. Jimmy Bartell was at 3. He was our vice captain. And Tim Boyle got drafted to Hawthorn at number 5. He batted at number 5. Then we had some really handy other players there. And then the next year when I played, Aaron Finch batted at number 3. I reckon he was about 13 in an under-16 comp. And our captain, Matt Harrison, ended up playing state cricket as well. So played with some very handy sportsmen through there. I love my cricket, but it came to a point where I had to choose one, and I was probably a better footballer. And going out and cricket and sitting around watching was something that I did a lot, and I wasn't really that keen on doing that long-term.
I certainly understand that point, side of it, yes. Hey, Jimmy, greatly appreciate having you on the show, mate.
Well, before we wrap it up,
we better go our normal.
We better ask, which we do with everybody, in that we'll do it in two stages. best players, and you can name three or four that you played with at North Adelaide, and also players played against.
So best players played with and against. Yep.
Yeah, tough one. Played one game with Gary Ablett. I'm not going to count that. He came back to the reserves and played one. Oh, I think Ben Hart played in my first year in 2007. He was unbelievable. He was probably it at that level. But, Chris Laddams, Motlop, Uni, Alloway. Alloway was probably, I think he was very underrated in the comp.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You just kick it to him, he'd make you look good. So he was good. The other one that probably wasn't, I don't know if he was as the best player going around, but made my job easier in my first year, was Dean Howard.
Yep.
He had a lot of the opposition scared, and he looked after us a lot in there. So he was unreal. Going back to playing over here, I played with Podsy. Podsy was a freak, and yep. He would have got drafted earlier if they basically changed the rookie rules to get him drafted. He was unbelievable. And Travis Robertson was another one who was our captain at Werribee. Absolute gun. Opposition, best players I've played against. Ian Callanan was pretty good.
Yep.
I'm trying to think. There was plenty of good... I'm going to miss someone. There were plenty of good players around. Oh, Jeremy Clayton.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember I had to tag Jeremy Clayton one day. That didn't last long. they were probably... And playing with, sorry, going to my Norwood days, Kieran McGuinness was unbelievable.
Don't worry, I was going to say, I was going to have to bring that up, K-Mac.
Yeah, it's a funny one, though, because I played with him at Werribee when he was listed at the Dogs.
Okay, yeah.
I was going to ask that, actually.
And he became... Not that he wasn't a good player then, but... I don't think many would have envisaged him turning into the player he did, having seen what he was like when he was younger. Like he was a good player, but he became the best player in the comp in my view.
Yeah, he was. Kieran McGuinness was the best player in the sample.
And unbelievable leader as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're on the same page again there, Jimmy.
That's unusual that you agree.
Mm.
So. Mate, we'll get you out of here on this one. Obviously you had an opportunity at Geelong, and obviously being with Werribee and the Bulldogs affiliation there, do you ever think that a second or third go at the AFL was ever going to come about, and would you have liked it to come about?
I would have liked it. In saying that, I wouldn't... At the time, I would have liked it, but knowing what I know now, I wouldn't change any of it. I wonder whether if I had got drafted and played 10 games and then just my career fizzled out, I don't think I would have been as content as I would be right now.
Yeah.
Okay. There wasn't really a lot of interest. I had a lot of injuries. I'm 5 foot nothing. Not overly quick. Don't tackle. Like, there was probably limited spots for guys like me.
As a man after my own heart.
I was pretty realistic about that. To be honest, there wasn't something that, like, it wasn't like I played with a chip on my shoulder about it. Like, some guys get really upset about it, and that drives, and that was never the case for me. The one thing that I wish had happened was that I probably had had that first year at Geelong to get my body right after a knee reco and having a real crack at it in my second year. But at that time, I was there 2 years after Bartel, Johnson, Kelly, all those guys got drafted, so I probably would have put a bit more time into them than me as well.
The only reason I ask is, you know, obviously you had success with winning a couple of McGarry medals, and generally players that are being recognised at SANFL level get another opportunity, and unfortunately it didn't come about, but certainly your record will stand the test of time, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was a different time then as well. There's so many opportunities for guys now to get drafted, and like we're doing recruiting stuff at Werribee now, and like, there's guys that can train with clubs up until February, March, I think.
Yeah.
Like, just those opportunities now didn't exist. So whether you get an opportunity now or not, who knows? But it's not something I'll think about. I certainly don't lose any sleep over it.
Hey, Jimmy, greatly appreciated, mate. all the best at Werribee, and all the best to, you know, your family and all that, and greatly appreciate it, mate.
Thank you, mate.
No worries at all. Thanks for your time.
Cheers, thanks, boys. Jimmy. Thanks, mate.
See you, mate.
Yeah.
And we thank Jimmy Allen for being with us tonight and, you know, sharing some insights into, you know, his time at North Adelaide and how he got to North Adelaide, and then obviously such a successful period for himself personally at North Adelaide, and then finally gets the elusive premiership at Norwood.
Oh, and he was pretty honest too with the competition rates, and yeah, look, no one can get prepared to Robber, and it's a bit of fun with Jimmy in that way. You're a triple McGarry medalist, like the greatest, but you know, his record's pretty incredible though. It's 5 BNFs in a row. He's incredible at anywhere. So yeah, and he was honest there as well. You know, enjoyable chat. And yeah, no, he's a fellow cricket nut as well, Jimmy. So
we always
have
that up,
yep. Always have that in common with him as well. So yeah, and I do remember, you know, vividly spending a bit of time with him and mucking around, sending photos to London and that on 14 grand final night. So yeah.
And one thing we did sort of skip over and we didn't ask him about was that he got to captain the Roosters in 2012. And you know, you're coming from a different state, not really sort of knowing, like he explained, not knowing what the SANFL was really about, and really found himself entrenched at North Adelaide there. And a bit unfortunate that he didn't get back there to finish his career, but he ends up coming to Norwood and getting that elusive premiership.
Yeah, he got the premiership, and don't worry, Stump will be very happy that he got in the Stump Academy at Ross Trevor mentioned. So thanks, Jimmy.
Fantastic. Thanks, Jimmy.
You're listening to the Game On Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.